Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and it's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who just turned 59 years of age last Saturday, July 18, 59 years of age. And I remember so often talking about my predecessor and saying that if I lived to be his age, I would have another 15 years or another 17 years or another 14 years, depending on the day or the year I was thinking about it. And of course, my point is we're mortal. And the time in which we can serve the Lord is limited. And now, if I live to be the age of my predecessor, I only have 1 year to go. If I live as long as my dad lived, he died at 74, I have 15 years to go. And it's all a recognition that life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Only one life, soon 'twill be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I got a whole stack of cards here in my hand, cards from my kids. Of course, I have 12 kids, so I got a lot of cards. But these cards are always special to me every year because they give me an inkling of where my kids are at in their thoughts. Here's my 12-year-old Faith. Dear Dad, oh my gosh, you're an awesome dad, and I am so lucky you're all mine. Remember, people say that they have the best dad in the world? Well, that's because they haven't met mine. You'll always be the man of my life. I will always love you for all you've given me. Faith, your daughter. Or here's one from Christina. It starts out with an acronym and then goes on to say, Dad, you are so amazing. Your memory, your style, everything communicates your enthusiasm and passion for God. That always comes to mind. When you speak, you don't just merely tell a Bible story, but you point out its significance so that it can be that much more empowering and important to me. I thank you for all your work, your life. You inspire me to be more. Your teaching of God's Word helps me understand and want to tell people more about you. That's why I want to be a medical missionary. You're amazing. I love you. Thanks, your daughter. And this is Christina, my 16-year-old. And I go through the rest of the letters, but they're personal letters to me. And in those letters, you always hear a reference to God because my kids are looking past me to their Heavenly Father and to using their lives to make a difference for time and for eternity. And that's exactly what this broadcast is all about. It's a broadcast that is impacting lives for time and for eternity. I want to read one testimonial before we go to our phone callers. It's from Edric. And he's in prison, and he writes, God bless you, Brother Hank. I've been tuned into your broadcast and praying for the broadcast, which is really all I can do because I'm an inmate. I would love to be able to do more. Maybe one day I'll be able to, but in the meantime, I pray. December last year, I came across your broadcast, caught my interest right away. Why? Because I've been using this time in prison to not only draw closer to the Lord, but also to learn the truths of the Bible. Since there are so many teachings in this place, I started to shut everyone out. but I've learned to be more loving by listening to your broadcast, and I would be crushed, seriously, if you ever had to go off the air. It has motivated me so much to the point that I actually look to you as my pastor, and for good reasons. God bless you and your ministry. I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus. One of the many letters that comes into our broadcast indicating the impact of this radio broadcast even behind bars. And of course, Edric is one who is saying thank you to those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Without you, we will go off the air. It's as simple as that. If you can stand with me today, it would be deeply appreciated. You can do that on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000. CRI. I want to go right to the phone calls. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go to Brian first. He's listening in Riverside, California on KKLA. Hi, Brian.
Hank, what a privilege it is to speak to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm calling about Revelation chapter 8. I'm going through after reading your book, The Apocalypse Code, and it is definitely convincing, and it's changed the way I look at the book of Revelation. I'm having more and more questions the further I dig in. So regarding chapter 8, I just wanted to ask, if the tribulation has already happened, where were the trumpet judgments located, or maybe better put, where were they executed? And if outside of Asia Minor, how does it relate if John was writing to the churches in Asia Minor?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Brian. If you listen closely to the language, you hear the echo of the Old Testament. And let's start all the way back in chapter 6. In chapter 6, the angel opens the sixth seal, and there's an earthquake in heaven. And then the sun turns black, like sackcloth made out of goat hair. The moon turns blood red, and all the stars fall from the sky like figs that are falling off a fig tree that's shaken by a strong wind. And then the text says the sky recedes like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island are removed from its place. Now think about that for a moment. Does that sound like the end of the world?
To a degree in an area.
I mean, think though. I mean, isn't that cosmic judgment language, and you think the sun turns black, the moon turns blood red, the stars fall from the sky recedes like a scroll, every mountain and island are removed from its place. That sounds apocalyptic, sounds like the end of the world.
Yes.
But that's only if you're not reading the text in light of Scripture. In other words, interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture. Because those words and the kind of language, the apocalyptic language that you find in the book of Revelation, you can find elsewhere in Scripture.
Yeah.
A classic case in point, Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. He's surrounded by his disciples. And he says, in response to their question, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now, there's an echo there as well, because John's word has a reference in the words of Jesus, but the words of Jesus have their referent in the words of Isaiah.
Okay.
Because if you go back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 13, Isaiah says this, "See, the day of the Lord is coming, a day of wrath and anger, to make the land desolate, to destroy the sinners within it." And then he says, "The stars and the constellations will not give their light, the rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light." So, what's he talking about? What is Isaiah saying? Isaiah is prophesying the destruction of Babylon. Now, all commentators that go to the text will agree. That's what Isaiah is doing. He's using this kind of language to talk about the imminent destruction that is going to befall Babylon.
Okay.
So what is Jesus doing? Jesus, the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a greater theologian than them all, is taking the language of Isaiah, which has to do with the destruction that's going to come upon Babylon, and he's now using that language and applying it to destruction that's going to befall Jerusalem.
Okay.
So now, what do you think John is doing? John is doing the exact same thing.
Same thing, yes.
Yeah, he's talking about judgment that's going to happen, and you're absolutely right. He's writing seven letters to churches in the province of Asia. They're in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. In this particular context, you're supposed to say Caesar is Lord. And the Christians are saying, no, Christ is Lord. And as a result of that, they are going to suffer persecution and vilification. And Jesus is telling them in the letters, be patient, be vigilant, be faithful. You're going to suffer for 10 days, but your vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. And he's talking about all that's going to befall. He's using a judgment language, and he's talking about the judgment that's going to come on the very nation that has been called to be a light to the nations, but instead has prostituted itself with the nations. And judgment is going to now come, and in the midst of that judgment, those who are faithful are going to suffer, but ultimately they're going to receive an eternal reward. So the language there is an apocalyptic language that has its referent in the Old Testament. That's why I oftentimes say, if you want to read Revelation for all it's worth, you got to recognize that the 404 verses that comprise the book of Revelation have a referent in the Old Testament. 278 of them, allusions to Old Testament passages, and the only way you have a chance of understanding what's going on is to know the Old Testament.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense to you?
Absolutely.
That's what's going on.
Thank you for your time. I wish you many more birthdays so I can continue to listen and support your program.
Hey, thank you, Brian. I appreciate your call so much, and it's always encouraging to hear people that pray for this broadcast. We don't always say what's politically correct, but if we did, well, I guess there'd be no purpose in doing the broadcast. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Daniel. He's listening on WMCA in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. Happy belated birthday.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're definitely just listening to your prior words before you started the taking the phone calls. You know, you're definitely pastoring a lot of people. I just thank you for your knowledge and your dedication to the Word of God and how you've just helped so many people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord.
You know, it's interesting, Daniel. If you've been listening to this broadcast for any period of time, you'll recognize that I oftentimes will mention my family in passing, and when I do that, people say, we want to know more about your family. And so my staff talked me into reading a couple of letters that I got from my kids for my 59th birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, you know, just, you know, us on the phone calls, you know, we don't necessarily know you personally, but it does, you know, help us to get a little more insight, you know. That's definitely a good thing. To the question that I wanted to ask, just to give you a little context about it, I was in a discussion with a church brother, and basically the conversation started about if you can lose your salvation. And I agreed with you, and I've also used some of the answers from your Bible book to basically defend my argument, and basically it wasn't received well. Basically, he believes the opposite, that you can lose your salvation. And in the midst of it, he didn't use this particular passage, but my guess is that this might have been in his mind when we were discussing it. So I'm looking at the chapter of John and verse 31, basically where it says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. My question isn't necessarily about salvation, losing your salvation, but the question is, does God listen to the prayers of sinners? with the exception of the prayer of repentance.
Well, you have to understand that logically, if you're not a believer in God, you're not going to pray to God. You might blaspheme God or use God's name in vain, but as a non-believer, it's unlikely that you're going to pray to God. And if you're not praying to God, or even if you're praying to a false god, the prayer is not going to be efficacious. Because when we pray, we always pray to God in accordance with His will, because we're praying to the true God, and we know that God is sovereign over the affairs of humankind, and therefore we want His will and not our own. The unbeliever doesn't care about God's will, and therefore they're not going to be praying in accordance with God's will as a believer would. I have written about this in detail, Daniel, in a book called The Prayer of Jesus. It was one of the most important books I've ever written, and the purpose of the book was to say that prayer is not a way for us to get things from God, but a way of developing a relationship with the lover of your soul, out of which everything else flows. We'll be right back with a special guest you don't want to miss, Nancy Guthrie, coming right up.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can connect with all these new media. That's www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today, about God, the Bible, eternity. Even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank. Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
If you appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of The Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
I've learned so much through your ministry. I bought most of your books, and I just thank God for you, most of all for your patience in dealing with callers. I've learned through you how to handle questions and arguments in reference to defense of the truth with love and respect, but mostly with patience, so I thank you for that.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Our outreach on this radio station is made possible through the financial donations and prayerful support of listeners like you. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. To get in touch with the Christian Research Institute, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. We're also online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man and our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. I'm holding in my hand a book I want you to be familiar with. And I want to read just a paragraph out of this book to give you a perspective on what's coming up in the next few moments. This book, titled Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow, written by Nancy Guthrie, says, I don't know what has brought sorrow into your life. Maybe you too have stood by a grave and said goodbye. Or maybe you've had to bury your dreams for a future with someone you love, or your plans for doing something you have longed to do. Perhaps circumstances have forced you to leave behind a position you thought you were made for, or to come to terms with a frightening financial problem, or a painful medical condition. Perhaps you live with ongoing sorrow over a child who's turned away from you or even from the faith. Maybe you're living with regret over the sorrow brought into your life by your own bad choices. Or maybe you're living with resentment over the sorrow brought into your life by what someone else has done. Whatever the source of your sorrow, I wonder if you would be willing to spend a few quiet hours with me listening to hear Jesus speak into your sorrow. And that's the title of the book, Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow. And it's written by a woman who knows what she's talking about. And for that reason, I wrote an endorsement to this book that simply says, if I can find it here as I flip through the pages, postmodernity seeks to deny death by driving it into the closet, to trivialize it by treating it irreverently, or circumvent it through the use of clever cliches. In sharp contrast, Nancy Guthrie writes with the realism and perspective of one who's been refined in the cauldron of life's tragedies. She doesn't offer up a panacea, but the peace that comes from hearing Jesus speak into your sorrows. And if you've had sorrows as a believer, so often you want to find that silver lining. And Nancy isn't just giving you in this book a quick fix, the easy sayings. Sometimes, as she points out in this book, Jesus breaks you. And he breaks you so he can use you. Nancy, you've experienced firsthand what it's like to be broken. Are you there? I guess I've lost Nancy. But Nancy knows firsthand what it is like to be broken in the cauldron of adversity. She's lost two children. She knows what it is to stand at a gravesite and to recognize that two people that she loves with all her heart are gone. And so she is not writing from some kind of an ivory tower. She is writing from the perspective of her own pain. And that's why I think this is a paradigm-shifting book, a book that you need. I guess I don't have Nancy. We'll go right back to our callers here in a second. But if we get Nancy later on, we'll talk about this some more. But this is a book that you ought to have, Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow by Nancy Guthrie. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order it via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. I think we've found Nancy. Are you there, Nancy?
Hey.
How are you?
I am terrific, and I'm so glad to get to talk to you today.
It's good to talk to you as well. Well, you have, as I mentioned earlier, you've written this book from the perspective of your own sorrow. You've seen Jesus speak into your sorrow. But more than that, you're not giving us a cheap solution. You're saying that God oftentimes breaks us on the anvil of pain so that he can use us for his greater good and glory.
That's what we want, isn't it? You know, I mean, in the sense that we don't want to sense that our suffering is meaningless or that there's no worth in it. And I think that we can endure suffering that on the surface and to the world could appear only to be tragic and meaningless when we have a deep sense of confidence that in God's sovereignty, that he doesn't allow his children to experience something that's meaningless or random, and also a solid confidence that he loves us and that he's going to use the worst things that we can imagine for our ultimate good.
And you're not just talking about the ultimate suffering that we experience in the throes of death and despair. You're talking about the kind of suffering people experience when they lose their job, when they lose a friendship. Jesus speaks into sorrow, and there's no panacea in life. It's not a matter of getting rid of the problems. It's learning how to deal effectively with the problems, because the only place you're not going to have problems is in the graveyard.
You know, I think none of us go through life without sorrow. We all face disappointment because this is a disappointing world. You know, it's broken, and the brokenness is so far-reaching and entrenched that none of us could expect to go through this life without being touched by it, affected by it in so many different areas of life. And while we may look at other people's experiences and say, oh, well, that's worse than what I'm experiencing, or I'm experiencing so much worse than that, the truth is that all hurt hurts deeply to the person who's feeling it. And so just our hope is that that we can know God's presence in the midst of it. And that's what he promises. You're right that there's no panacea, but he does promise his presence in the midst of it. And I think what's been significant for me is to hear one of the things Jesus said to Paul, Paul's an amazing person to me because, you know, when we read 2 Corinthians, he has this long list of all the things that he'd experienced, shipwrecks, beatings, being cold, being hungry, none of which are any small kind of thing. And yet there's something else that happens to him. We don't know exactly what it is, but he has this thorn in the flesh. And so for him to go to repeatedly to God, to ask God to remove that thorn in the flesh, it must, Hank, have been an unrelenting agony, something very significant. And so he goes to God and he asks him three times to take it away. And God doesn't take it away. What he says to him in the person of Jesus, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And I think, Hank, that for a long time when I read that, it sounded to me kind of like a pat on the head when Jesus said that, when he says, "My grace is sufficient for you," almost that sense of like, you'll be fine. I think it wasn't until I've experienced a deep sorrow that I've been able to hear the full impact of what Jesus is saying there, because what he is saying is, the grace I'm going to provide to you in the hardest, lowest places of life is going to be enough for you. It's going to fill up the empty places. It's going to be enough to meet your needs. And I'm going to supply what you need in the form you need it, and in the quantity you need it, and in the timing you need it. And you know what, Hank? That is a beautiful promise to have from Jesus himself, that in the hardest, lowest places of life, he will provide the grace we need to endure whatever the pain is that he has allowed us in our lives. He will give us the grace we need not to just survive it, but to endure it faithfully, endure it in a way that we don't turn our back on him, don't become bitter toward him. That's a beautiful promise.
A lot of people right now experiencing the kind of suffering that you're talking about. I want you to give people a glimpse of what they get when they purchase this book, actually for a gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I'll send it out to you. What are they going to get? How does it work?
Well, what I've done in hearing Jesus speak into your sorrow is take 11 statements of Jesus that in the darkest places of my life have come to mean the most to me. To be honest with you, Hank, some of them were statements that were terribly perplexing to me. That sense in which when I was experiencing deep grief and so many questions for God, trying to put that statement together with what my expectations were at that point of who God is and how I can expect him to work in my life, especially some of what Jesus said to us about his desire to heal us or protect us. And, you know, when you've gone through something where you sense, where you know God is not healed and the person dies, or where you sense God has not protected you, hasn't come through for you the way that your reading of the Scripture has brought you to the place that you understand he was going to, that he had promised to, that's a hard place to be, because you want to trust God with it, and yet there's this sense in which, I don't get this, God. I don't know how to fit this with my experience. And so this book is really my pursuit to understand some of these statements Jesus made, because, Hank, my confidence is in God's Word. I know that his Word is true, and I've known enough about his Word to know his character. And so when I come to the places in Scripture where it doesn't seem to fit, something doesn't seem to be right, I know that it's my perception, my understanding that's somehow off kilter. And that if I will pursue him through his Word, trying to understand the bigger picture of who he is and his purposes in the world, and his purposes in my life, that he will show that to me. And he has done that for me over and over again.
Dr. Nancy Guthrie, I want to hold Nancy over for just a few moments after the break, take a couple of calls. Speaking into our sorrow is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The book, Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow, a must read if you don't have this book right now. It's brand new. We'll send it out to you for your support of this ministry. Give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip is 28271. Right back for a few of your calls for Nancy Guthrie. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig nationally simulcast Teen Apologetics Conference on Saturday, August 8th to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of.
Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers.
Hi, Hank. This is Johnny Erickson Tata. And my husband, Ken, and I sure are glad we can cheer you and the rest of the team on right there at Bible Answer Man. You know, in our ministry among people with disabilities, we encounter families who have some hard-hitting questions about the Bible and what it says concerning suffering. And believe me, we know the importance of giving God's Word to people's strength. That's what you do. Especially in this postmodern world, everybody wants to do what's right in his own eyes. But I'm so grateful that you cut through all that to give us the absolute and unyielding truth of God's Word. You've been doing it for years, and it's just our prayer God will grace you with the strength and the wisdom to keep sharing the biblical worldview for years to come. Thanks for all the answers we get on the Bible Answer Man.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council,
Contact us right now, toll-free, at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Hundreds of you, thousands of you calling in from all around the United States and Canada. Good news. I'm going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air today. I'll continue taking your calls and I'll play my answers to your questions on a day that I happen to be traveling. So if you're hanging on, do be patient. I'll get to you either now or in the next hour if you're dialing in the number in the U.S. or Canada, 888-ASK-HANK. We're talking for a moment with Nancy Guthrie about her book, Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow. I like what Kay Arthur says about this book. I mean, she's got a sterling endorsement of the book. She says, what a treasure of truth you have in your hands. Learn it for yourself, and God will use you to help others, even as Nancy does. The Word of God has the answers, and that is exactly where Nancy, a woman acquainted with sorrow, takes us. If you let Nancy take you by the hand, lead you where she's been, share with you truth that never changes, and cry, heal me, O Lord, you will find yourself hearing Jesus speak into your sorrow. And there you will find healing. Or Kay Warren says Nancy's style is straightforward. It's raw and yet full of faith. This is a book I'll refer to and recommend often to those struggling with unanswered questions about struggling. And one thing, Nancy, which is pointed out in the book and you often point out, God doesn't always answer the why question, but he does teach us that we can trust him in the midst of our whys.
That's right, Hank. You know, I've seen over and over again that a lot of people get stuck there, haven't you? That sense in which until people get an answer to why has this hard thing happened, sometimes it's as if they, you know, refuse to move forward until God spells it out. And yet I think I've also found that trying to get an answer to that question is kind of useless. We think we'll be satisfied if God somehow spells it out for us, and yet I think sometimes even if we sense we get an answer to that, it's not enough. So there's got to be something else to satisfy that pursuit. And I think it's that happens when, rather than asking why in terms of what caused this, if we can turn that question around and say, God, for what purpose? I believe that you have a purpose in this, a sovereign purpose in this. And so what is that purpose so that I can become a part of it, so I can cooperate and submit to that purpose and be a part of accomplishing whatever good thing it is you want to do with this? And I think when we turn to God with that kind of submissive heart, he shows us how we can become a part of putting his glory on display, because that's always his ultimate purpose. He wants to put his glorious character and work on display in the world. And amazingly enough, oftentimes he's able to do that through our brokenness and suffering far better than through our successes and when life is good. It's when we are hurting deeply and we treasure Jesus in the midst of that hurt. When we treasure him more than anything that we have lost, we are uniquely able to put the glory of God on display in this world.
Give us some perspective on the title. There's something intoxicating about the title of your book, Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow. You've lost two children. Talk about what it means to hear Jesus speak into your sorrow.
Well, I don't mean that in any kind of supernatural sense. You know, I've never heard an audible voice from God. And to be honest with you, Frank, if Hank, you know, when somebody suggests to me that God told them something and they heard him, I kind of run the other direction. The way I repeatedly hear God speak to me and have heard God speak to me is when I open up his word. That's where God speaks. And when I open up his word speaks deeply to my soul, to my situation. Now, sometimes it's a word of comfort and assurance. But I have to be honest with you that a lot of times it's a word of correction or a word of conviction. And Hank, I want to hear those words. I want to hear Jesus speak to me in those ways. I want everything he has to say to me. I don't want him to just pat me on the head and keep me going out a direction of making some assumptions about him that aren't correct. I want him to show me who he is. I want him to show me his heart. And I want him to show me who he is. And over again, in my places of pain, in my losses, he has done that. As he has spoken to me about who he is and about his sufficiency. And even as he has shown me, as I read his words, he shows me his example for me to follow. I think one of the most significant ways I've heard him speak to me is when I've listened to his words in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, in that garden, he was facing an incredible loss. In fact, I can just almost picture where I was when I read in Matthew 26, when Jesus comes back to his disciples, and he says to his disciples, I am overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Because I so clearly remember, Hank, how much sorrow I had in those days following my daughter Hope's death. It felt like a weight on my chest that was squeezing the life out of me. And when I read Jesus' words saying that he was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, I can't tell you what sweetness that was to me to know that Jesus understood. He understands the weight of sorrow. We don't have a God who is so distant that he can't get what life is like in this world. You know, Jesus became flesh. He understands the deep weight of sorrow. So it helps me to know he understands, but more significantly than that, it helps me to look at his example with what he did. Because, you know, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's going repeatedly to God with a prayer. There was something he wanted. What he wanted is he's saying, you know, God, if there is some other way to deal with sin in this world, other than me going to the cross, other than me facing being abandoned by you, other than me becoming sin so that you have to turn away from me, other than you pouring out your wrath for sin on me, if there's some other way, then that's what I want to do. And he goes to his loving Father repeatedly, and we don't hear God's audible response. His words are not recorded, but we know Jesus asked three times, and evidently Jesus understands that God is saying no to him. And that helps us, Hank, you know, because we go to God with a lot of passionate prayers, and we think, you know what, God, I've been faithful to you, and you tell me in your word to pray about what concerns me, and it says that you answer prayer, and I'm coming to you with this passionate prayer. And sometimes when God doesn't say yes to us, we think he's being unkind, unfair, that he doesn't love us. So it helps us to hear Jesus speaking into our sorrows. When we listen in to him going to God repeatedly with that prayer, and God says no, and then, this is very significant, Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. And those are breakthrough words of submission, Hank. Those are words of instruction to us if we will hear them that way. That's how we hear Jesus speaking into our sorrow. We hear him saying, not your will but mine, but thine be done. Because that's the place where we break through to surrender in the hard places of life when it seems that God either isn't hearing our prayers or isn't responding to them in the way we want him to. When we can come to that place where, like Jesus, we can say, not my will, but yours be done, that's the breakthrough to peace and joy. And also the breakthrough to purpose, because, you know, then we've submitted ourselves and we've given ourselves over to God, and He can work in us and through us at that point. We give up the fight against Him or the fight for our own desires, and we melt into His grand purposes in our lives and in the world, and that is a place of peace.
Hearing Jesus speak into your sorrow, Dennis Rainey says, this is no theoretical treatise, but a compelling book hammered out on the anvil of a mom's heart. Nancy, as always, thank you so much. You've no doubt touched people deeply all across the world in these last few moments with us. Thank you so much for your insights.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, Hank.
God bless you.
You too.
Hearing Jesus Speak Into Your Sorrow, again by Nancy Guthrie. It's a must read. You can read it in a short period of time and find a blessing for the rest of your life for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When you write, please be generous. We need your support. Please stand with us. We can continue touching the lives of people profoundly for time and for eternity. You can also order via the phone, 888-7000-CRI. Time is running out on me. I'd hope that I could put Nancy through to many of the callers that are calling in the midst of their own pain. But I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. So if you're hanging on right now, I'll have an opportunity to talk to you in the next hour right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want to get in your call in the next hour, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And please do go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. Look at the book online. And while you're there, make a commitment to stand with a ministry that is transforming lives, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Thank you for standing with this ministry prayerfully and financially so that we can continue to harvest abundant, abiding fruit. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible. Hank has meticulously crafted this study Bible to help give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from him on the Bible Answer Man. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines and charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more. Order your copy today. Call 888-7000-CRI. Look for it online at equip.org. That's EQUIP.ORG. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the Word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.